Well, you know, I mean, I was like kind of, I read this and I was just kind of stunned at how rude that question was. But then I thought about it and I just thought, I mean, it's not, and it's rude, but it's like this ignorant question and it's this racist question at the same time, because the racist part of it is this assumption that, you know, this assumption that the black guys, just by the nature of them being black, would be better football players. And that's just, you know, that's racist in and of it. In and of itself.
You've got mail.
This is Torch columnist Sean Radican, joined by my co-host Derek Bergen for an all ROH edition of the Radican Audio Showcase for the weekend of December 7th, 2008. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing great, Sean. You got your working boots on today. We're ready to go.
All right. We're going to turn the tables and hand the reins to you for the mailbag.
Oh, we're letting the season pro call the match today? That's a good idea. All right. Our first email is from Matthew, WWF Fanatic. And Matthew plus our video's Ole Anderson shoot interview yesterday. I thought he had some good insight on certain things, and it was laughable how certain things were his fault. Do you guys think you need to get a grumpy old man to tell you how stupid you are when you ask a bad question? I think it would be a good replacement for the Bell of Honor. So. Do we need a grumpy old man to tell us that we make mistakes, Sean, or when you make mistakes, because I so rarely make them, it'd be a waste of time.
Well, we could get Bruce on the show to tell you when you're messing up.
Would Bruce suffer through our 10 minutes of Facebook talk? Because I don't think he's on any social networking if you don't count taking his mother and her friends out to dinner every Friday night.
I think he's on, is he on, I don't know. I think everyone's on Facebook.
Bruce Mitchell's not.
No. His friend Johnny Fairplay is.
He's filming hostage videos in front of garbage cans down in North Carolina. Where has Johnny Fairplay been recently? I meant to ask you that recently.
I don't know. He's got a couple shows coming out. He's got, you know, club appearances and all sorts of cool things going on in his life.
Is he going to be a guest columnist for WrestleZone.com shortly?
I don't know if they can afford him to scribe them a column.
I got to read the latest endeavors last night of your hero Mark Madden and your bookie Disco Inferno. And Disco made another impassioned plea that the only reason TNA has not successfully taken off is because TNA management hasn't put money into advertising it. As far as he is concerned, that is the sole reason nobody buys pay-per-views. And the TV ratings haven't skyrocketed. I mean, granted, they went up to a new record this week, but they haven't gone beyond that plateau. But he's convinced it has nothing to do with booking. It has nothing to do with how they position their TV shows. And Wade's constant rants on how they stupidly start the second hour with commercials. He says it's just because they don't advertise in Maxim or whatnot. Just a very odd avenue to take. Don't you agree?
Yep. And we've been over this before. And I think he's just so unaware of what's going on that he's just searching for answers, as they say, and certainly advertising isn't the problem, because I think there certainly is an awareness of the product out there.
Well, you know, that I'm not sure, Sean, because you get a lot of stories. If you do enough of Brian Alvarez's Figure Four Dailies, and he does a lot of interviews with people, you know, you'll get the stories of Mike Knaes or whoever, people that have been run into at airports. And the people ask them, well, you know, how come you didn't stay with that wrestling thing or Kurt Angle? And that's because they don't know of TNA. But I think part of that, it's not because TNA doesn't advertise, it's because TNA puts on a shitty show. And all the wrestling fans in the world aren't telling their friends. You know, they're not going to school. They're not going to their workplaces. And they're saying, well, you know, are you watching Impact on Thursday nights or this is what happened? You know, they don't want to admit they even know about this show because it's embarrassing when you watch it. You see just Sarah Palin impersonator on TV and these, you know, horrible angles. That, you know, you watch this shit on a consistent basis, so you just kind of pretend that it doesn't exist.
Excellent point.
Okay, next question from Chris Daly, one of our favorite all-time posters in the Sean Radican Zone. Do you think it would be to Ring of Honor advantage to put a download service to their website where fans can download Ring of Honor shows, matches, exclusive and pay-per-view events for a much smaller, say, $5.99, instead of relying on the slowly decaying DVD business? What other alternatives can you suggest to please the non-DVD buying audience?
No, because
this includes Linda Walker, who proudly talks about not wanting to watch Ring of Honor until they get TV, which is just one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. So how do you please a person stuck in the past like Linda Walker?
No, I think the only way they're going to stay in business is if people keep buying all their DVDs. So I think I'm certainly not going to waste my energy coming up with alternative ideas, because they're just not going to do them unless a new owner comes along, and maybe then someone else would consider that business plan. But they basically have to support an entire staff of wrestlers and full-time office workers, and the only way to do that is if everyone is buying the B shows and full DVDs to keep the money coming in to support the staff. And I don't think they're going to ever even consider this. Is it a good idea to do it with some older shows or something, or some kind of alternative? I don't know how they do it, but to meet their business needs and find that audience. Sure, I would think it was a good idea if they had more money coming in and they could then cater. I think the short answer is they need more money coming in before they can cater to fans who don't want to buy full shows.
Yeah, I think that we've talked over the past year several different ideas, and I was certainly way for the downloadable content before we had these pay-per-view arguments, and I still think it's embarrassing that a company like Kayfabe Commentaries, you can download MP3s of guest commentary for famous matches, and Ring of Honor has no option like that. And they've certainly had plenty of people in the company's history, if not now, of CM Punk's, of Samoa Joe's, of Homicide's, of Alex Shelley's, Chris Davis, of people you would love to hear talk about a match, whether they're goofing on it or whether they're giving serious commentary of where they were at that point. And, you know, they don't offer anything like that. As a matter of fact, ringofhonormedia.com is gone. The ROH toolbar, which you happily downloaded on your faggot BlackBerry, is gone, you know, because they just don't support new technologies. And, you know, you can only be at the top of your game until it's over the next day. And they need to think forward and realize that maybe having all your eggs in the DVD basket might not be the best way to go with a constantly evolving technology. So I see where you're coming from, John. I don't want to discount what you're saying, but
it's the only way for them to go right now.
Commentaries.com is a billion-dollar production office with, you know, tons of staff members. So this technology just can't be too hard to get a grasp of to implement, you know, next week.
I think they could do the commentary thing. I'm just not sure how much money it would bring in, but I'm sure it wouldn't be a high cost to them to put that on their servers and so forth. And,
I can't believe that anybody's going to come in for their best of stuff on demand when WWE couldn't get it to work with the Fanatic series. You know, I just can't see how they're going to make it do. But we'll see. You know, we have to.
Well, obviously, they only do things that are beneficial to them or not taking too much of a risk. So obviously, doing that was something that they could fit in financially.
Yeah, whatever. Or it's the lazy way to go out. Next question is for, with Marvel Comics doing crazy stuff with Spider-Man lately with the One More Day storyline, do we think that a wrestling company could completely change the course of history and years of chronology? Basically, can wrestling do what comics have been doing and completely change their characters? I don't know if you watch Heroes at all, Sean, because I know you're still stuck on the first year DVD. But they went to a comic store recently, and one of the main characters basically got his mind erased, like he's still 10 years old. And he went into the comic store in today's present, and he couldn't believe that Captain America was dead, you know, that the Hulk was now red, you know, and various other things going on in comics. He just couldn't wrap his head around that, because the comic book industry really lately has been flipping things on its head and changing things. Do you think that show, WWE, Florida Championship, Ring of Honor, do you think they could do something completely drastic on their show one week and just change the course of storylines, change the course of everything, and wrestling would accept it, or do you think it would just drive them away in droves?
I think it would drive people away because people aren't necessarily might not necessarily follow week to week, but they have a sense of, especially in WWE, of who the characters are and what they represent, and they go to the shows to cheer those characters on or boo them or whatever, and I don't think people would take kindly to that kind of a drastic of a change.
Do you subscribe to the theory that Wade Keller constantly states that a good part of the audience doesn't watch every week, but they watch every other week or every third week? You know, that there's a good amount of people that only do twice a month or once a month, and that if you went to this type of thing, that would really fuck them up. You know what I mean? They'd be becoming in mid-storm, and everything would be, you know, with no explanation, completely changed. Or do you think Wade's right? Do you think there's a large amount of their audience that is like that, especially on Raw and TNA?
I think the same people watch TNA every week. So I think with WWE, I do think that people, you know, come and go sometimes depending on a football game or or another event going on in their life. But they can I think there's a good percentage of the audience that knows what's going on and knows that they can catch up after missing a week or two because of the way WWE tends to highlight all their stories and highlight packages and so forth. You can catch up in 3 or 4 weeks of storylines in 1 week.
Yep. I'd be for this idea if I had faith that any of these companies had good writers who thought things out and laid it out in advance and knew where they were going. But unfortunately, it would be just like when WCW kept hitting the reset button and you'd have this awesome first week and you get all into it. And by week two, it's like obviously they're writing on the fly and things contradict, things don't make any sense. And ultimately, it would probably kill whatever company decides to do that. So fortunately, my faith in wrestling leads me to say stay far away from something like this. This is last question. This is kind of a weird one. Do you think there is room for a new face-painted supergroup tag team a la the Road Warriors, except with skills transducive, which transducive can't be a word. I think he means conducive. With today's style, to hit...
Conductive. I don't know.
It may be, can it be the next big buzz then? Think a Road Warriors-type group. We also got Powers of Pain, Demolition. Do you think that could be a huge thing for Ring of Honor in the future?
I don't know. I never thought that... I'm not so sure that face paint is over anymore, but I don't think it's needed to get
over.
It's
something that has never been done, really, in Ring of Honor. I mean, Muta was there. He was his face painted for Final Battle 2003, right?
Yeah.
I think so. But has there been any high-profile, consistent characters in the company since day one that you can think of that use face paint?
No.
I can't either. So, I mean... There's always a chance for something new to catch on, you know, because you stand out from everyone else. And it's
ICP.
Really hard to stand out in a company with great. I see that's true. With Green Lantern fan turning his back to them on the ROH Uncensored DVD. But like we said, you have all these great wrestlers, the Jigsaws and the Roderick Strongs. I mean, they're just so great compared to your average indie guy, and it's really hard to get attraction to fans because, you know, everybody you're around is in that top elite class, or at least many of them, of the Brian Danielsons and Nigel McGuinnesses, that maybe someone taking advantage of face paint, you know, maybe it'll get some fans into them, and you know, you get some fans into you, they'll get their friends, and who knows? I don't think it'll change the company, but you never know, right?
Yeah, and I don't know if now's the right time either, with Jeff Hardy just going to that new look with the face paint on SmackDown, and.
Yeah, I was watching that last night. He looked like a zombie type thing. It was like a skeleton type.
Yeah,
you know,
pretty cool actually.
Yeah, not too shabby.
But I don't think maybe at some point it could work if it's something different. Though I guess I'd never thought about it before, but I think something like that would definitely. Help someone with like a bland look or, you know, having trouble getting over.
Yep.
But, you know, who knows what the face paint would turn out to look like doing it backstage at an indie show.
So. Yeah. Now, you would need a hyper-creative person, just like Jeff Hardy, like you just said.
Yeah.
You know, clearly it can't just be dumb, you know. Actually, John, you know, I'm going to say it can be dumb because next year, and I think you might have already got the graphic novel, Watchmen comes out, and one of the most over characters in that book, and he's going to probably be huge next year once the movie comes out, is Rorschach, or I think that's his name, Rorschach. And
yeah.
it's just like the psychological test being blots where one side is completely the same as the other, and that maybe a character doing something like that could catch on. So that's interesting. So speaking of characters that didn't catch on with the new look, did you happen to see Hurricane Helms' new look on SmackDown?
Not yet, but I will be watching it.
I heard he has a big... The biggest Shane Helms fan in the universe. I really can't imagine. This is a 12-year-old girl in North Carolina. A bigger fan of his over the last 10 years, and I'm officially turned the corner. I cannot believe after a year. And he's already associated with some of the most greatest guys I've ever seen, with the Matt Hardy, with the Jeff Hardy. He comes back, you know, and I'm not going to say his physique sucked. That's whatever he wants to do in the gym. It's his own business. He's got that ridiculous tattoo on his back. He's wearing these kind of like CM Punk shorts that he wore in Ring of Honor, but he also has these long knee pads. It just looks, I mean, it screams indie to you, and I can't fathom why you would come back after a year like this. And it's mixing his Hurricane character, when he was a great superhero parody back on Raw, and his Gregory Helms character, which was just this piece of shit, Chavo Guerrero-type boring character on SmackDown, you know, and merged them together to be the worst of both. And it's I don't get it, Sean. I don't get it at all.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, next question. Johnny B., your favorite poster. I'm dying to hear what you guys think of Kenny Omega. I've seen him live a handful of times, and every time, no matter how big or small the crowd was, and Johnny B. seen him wrestling in front of 40 fans, 75 fans, 150, and a couple times at Jersey All-Pro with over crowds of over 500. He's my favorite indie wrestler right now. He's a great worker, has incredible charisma. He has the look and size, or does he have the look and size, to make it in WWE and TNA? Or TNA?
I don't know, because I really haven't seen enough of him yet.
I was looking forward to seeing him in Velocity Pro Wrestling, which, of course, flamed out last week, and I don't know if we reported that story or not. Cause I don't know if I
did. Yeah, we did. Let's not go over.
I don't know if I had a bad dream one day of some bad guacamole, but the planned Kenny Omega versus Jerry Lynn super fight, the headline Velocity Pro on December 20th, is canceled now. So we'll have to stick to seeing Kenny Omega in short spots. I know he wrestled in Ring of Honor last night in St. Louis. I imagine he's wrestling tonight in Nashville. But the little I've seen and buzz I've heard is great. But like you, I've only seen snippets here and there, and mostly on YouTube, actually.
I think what I can tell you is that you know, a lot of people on the indie scene, promoters and bookers, are very high on him, and I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a huge push in ROH in the near future.
Even being associated with a company that flamed out because of its association, or who knows what went down with Rob Feinstein, how the whole thing played out. Do you think should the current ownership and management of Bonner, will they have such a hatred for people associated with Rob Feinstein as clearly the Dave Sapolsky management did?
What did you say?
Fucking dig that. Ring of Honor, when Feinstein was ousted out of the company, we saw the disappearance of a lot of people that were tied to him. The Azriels, you know, a lot of Special Ks, you know, people that were always on the show, and they just disappeared into the ether. Now that Gabe's gone, do you think that wrestlers who have been tied to Rob Feinstein, and Kenny Omega was going to headline a Rob Feinstein back show, or run show, I should say, do you think that they're just going to let bygones be bygones, that Rob Feinstein's a part of their past or a thing of their past, and they'll just overlook anything and treat everybody with a fair shake?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think Kenny Omega's already been at it to the last two shows of the year, so.
Okay. What are you doing? Reading, like, letters from Hustler?
Oh, no, I was placing a lunch order.
Okay. Well, obviously we can't take your full time. Jericho for Life asks, why isn't Mike Quackenbush working regular in Ring?
He suffered a concussion and wasn't all the way back full to where he wanted to be to work on that stage. So he's doing mostly all Chikara, I think, this year. And the, you know, because of the dates don't really, you know, he's all booked up anyway. So I think probably if he works something out before he starts booking himself up for next year, maybe we'll see him back again. It wasn't any negative thing. It was just him not wanting to work on that kind of a stage and not be in top condition after a pretty bad concussion, I believe, he suffered late last year.
Yeah, he did an awesome interview with Brian Alvarez on the Figure Four Daily. People need to check out. He explains this.
Several.
Just like you said, that he's had offers, a ton of offers, and he actually doesn't go to a lot of them because he doesn't want to sacrifice the work he does for his students, because he trains the Chikara students or just people training in pro wrestling. And he came across as such a stand-up guy, such an exceptional athlete, And we both can't wait to see more of him because we loved him on the Smart Mark Videos Best of the Indie series where we saw him wrestle Claudio Castagnoli and stuff like that. So I wish the best for Mike Quackenbush. Just like you said, that concussion, he just could not give the level of work rate he knew that Ring of Honor demanded, and he demanded of himself. And I can't wait for him to come back. You know, Ring of Honor needs guys like him and Humor Tornado and things like that, not more fucking Go Shizaki and Kenta and all this, you know, bullshit nonsense, people that like them. I think that, we'll get to this later, but Mike always needs Mike Quackenbush in the worst way, if you ask me.
Okay.
Okay. Last question is from Cutrere. Just wondering if you and Sean have time on an upcoming audio to give your opinions on the Shield finale. It was great and would enjoy if you guys could discuss a little. Thanks. What do you think, Sean, of the 90-minute epic finale of FX The Shield?
I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I think. And,
Oh, God. Wonderful lunch with the ice cream truck? What, a Nutty Buddy and one of those rocket things, or what?
Spider-Man bubblegum. anyway, I thought it was really good. And I thought the scene where Vic was confronted with the photos of Shane and his wife and child all dead, and he didn't say a word, and he just read it all on his face, was just so awesome. And
that was a tour, the show itself, that finale, was a tour de force for Claudia, because she eviscerated that serial killer kid earlier on when you kind of didn't know where it was going, and by the end of it was like, wow. And then afterwards, they kind of give the exposition that this kid's going to give it up. She just broke him. She made him humble in that interrogation room. And then later on, she aces that by ripping Vic's heart out, knowing that basically he's responsible for killing this wife, this newborn, and this unborn baby. And then she goes, you know, you're going to start paying your receipts right now. And she goes and has Ronnie arrested right in front of him. And it was just like
awesome.
Un-fucking believable. And it's definitely the best finale I've ever seen on any show. And, oh, my God, it just brought so many storylines to a satisfactory end. Even if you didn't like what happened, like, I just couldn't leave Ronnie, got fucked. I mean, it made sense. It tied in. They talked about characters that we saw on the show. I can't remember Anthony Anderson's character, the big black guy who was a main villain for one of the years. You know, they talked about him. They talked about Forrest Whitaker's character from Internal Affairs. I mean, they just, if you were a longtime fan of the show, they made you feel like you invested, you know, a worthwhile amount of your time for a good cause. And I didn't get that when The Sopranos ended. I never watched The Sopranos. I probably never will. But I didn't, when that show ended and I did the watch the finale, I didn't get the reaction from their fans that I got from the fans that watched The Shield. It seemed overwhelmingly positive, and people just loved it. And you and I, at least I think it's the best thing I've ever seen on TV.
Yeah, it's a great show. One of my favorites of all time. And one thing, I've had a hard time getting my dad into it because he says, why would I want to watch this show about this guy who's just a big asshole? So, I mean, he definitely ends up getting his in the end. But there's a...
I think he has the motivation that wrestling is missing in that he thinks he's doing it for the right reasons. You know, he even gives up Ronnie because he didn't want to see his... He thought his wife was going to go to jail. So to him, his family meant more... Ultimately, and his friends. I mean, his friends, he was going to lay down for them. He wasn't going to take the deal because Ronnie wasn't involved. They only got to him because they made him think his kids might be deprived of something because their mother would go to jail. And so in his heart, he thought he was doing all this for the right reasons. And I just think that's an exceptional character. But this bullshit cartoon stuff that we see a lot on wrestling.
Yeah, and great, great show. And looking forward to going back, and I'm looking forward to when the DVD set comes out, and I like to hear the commentaries on the final season, and especially I'd like to watch those credits again, because those are kind of interesting as well, the credits at the end. And
it really makes you feel, because when this show was filmed, it was right during the writer's strike, or right at the beginning of the writer's strike, and the series creator, Sean Ryan, couldn't be on set the last day of filming. And, you know, if you take the body of work that the Shield was, and what an exceptional creator, producer, writer that Sean Ryan is, and that he couldn't be there because he took his principles. He's like, I'm not going to be there because I'm supporting the writers that are getting screwed by Hollywood. You know, it's almost heartbreaking that he couldn't be on the rap day. And what a body of work that he can stand behind. And hey, I almost feel bad another way, because how do you top this? You know, when you're pitching your next show to NBC or FX or whatever, you know, how do you top this? I mean, this is just unbelievable.
Well, I'm sure you come up with something good again.
Yeah.
You always kind of feel with people like that, you know, how can you top this? And then they come back and do something else great. That occurs some of the time, at least, you know. So,
like me, every time people think I've created the ultimate wrestling column, and then I just come back with even a better idea. It's somehow you just wonder. Sean, on a related topic, do you think people are going to be clamoring for like a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie like they did for Sex and the City, like people are still waiting for Arrested Development? Do you think there's enough passion with S.H.I.E.L.D. fans that we want to know what's going on in 3 years when Vic's tour of duty with the CIA or whoever that deal was, ICE, when his penance with them ends, he can go back on the streets. You know, we'll find out, did Ronnie survive in jail? You know, things like that. You know, do you think we'll ever see much, or this is it, closed?
I definitely think people want a movie. And, I mean, there's some stuff there, like you just referred to, Vic getting out of, you know, the sitting at
he
a desk.
He wants his kids, you know what I mean? That must, as bad as he must hate that job, and he had to give up everything in his life, his friends, he had to sell them all out, he doesn't know where his kids are now. You know, she's a witness protection. So, you know,
yeah.
I got like this is going to find out where his son and two daughters, I can't remember what it is, where they are, you know what I mean? Because he loves his kids more than anything, and it's tearing him apart not to see them.
I mean, I had heard that they weren't going to leave any openings for a movie, but they definitely did. So, I think it would be great to see it on the big screen.
Ultimately, I think the ultimate storyline would be see Dutch taking Vic Mackey down for good, you know what I mean, putting him away for all the crime he committed. Whether they were, inherently good or bad, you know, he's committed a lot of legitimate crimes, and Dutch, even though he's been portrayed as a weak man, is being picked on by Vic at some points, Dutch needs to take him down to prove, you know, ultimately the good guy will overcome the bad guy in the end.
I agree.
Okay. That's all,
right.
That's all our questions. Our fans really, I didn't think we were going to have any. They stood up the last minute rush. So thank you to our diehard listeners. We appreciate it.
All right. So, anyways, this week, some interesting things came up. Kayfabe Commentaries put up a little graphic that said, recently an old pal gave us a call and said they'd like to share some secrets with us. We said we'd be honored. In all caps, like a la Derek Bergen's School of Spelling.
Yes, which exists everywhere else in the entertainment world except on one site, which is only now slowly ripping me off, but we won't name any mentions.
So on Thursday, Gabe got his blogging shoes on and said on his MySpace blog, I never thought...
Well-worn blogging shoes this week.
I never would have thought I would do that. My throat is sore now because I just did an interview that I never thought I would do. I just said things I never thought I would say. In fact, about 6 weeks ago, there's no way I would have done this shoot. My secrets, and the Derek Bergen all caps, are out on the
does
table
that
now.
Not emphasize what he's saying or what? Yes, it does. I was right all along. Now even Wade's finding out that I've been right since day one.
The style guide says otherwise. The booking book has been opened. I'd like to see what this looks. I can't wait to see what this thing looks like.
Well, Sean, did you ever see the ROH straight shooting with Dusty Rhodes where he brought out his booking book from the Walker Holy Grail from the 70s Florida?
Let me tell you something, Gabe. It's like, here's where I put myself over.
We heard about this shoot from Kayfabe Commentaries, or whatever it's going to end up being, teased a little bit. And looking from this post from Gabe, it seems more like he's going to talk about how he books, which we kind of got a taste of in Guest Booker with Gabe when he booked ECW. I was hoping it'd be more of a look back at Ring of Honor from day one until today. And to me, it doesn't seem like it's going to be that, Sean. What do you think?
That is what it is going to be. So,
why would he talk about booking the book? To me, this sounds like he's just going to say how he comes to storylines, how it makes sense for him, how he books long term. I know that you want this to be a you shoot that you can send in a video file, you know, telling him that your throat is sore from licking his balls for the last 6 years. But
yeah,
I don't think this is a shoot where you're going to see him confronted on the Rob Feinstein situation, on Teddy Hart, on ICP, like you just said, on fan reactions to, say, the faction wars. I think this is just going to be Gabe, you know, meticulously going over why he's the four-time Wrestling Observer Book of the Year, how he thinks differently than Dave Lagana and Brian Gewirtz and Vince Russo. That's what I think, reading my piece of life.
Well, I don't think so, but we shall see. So we'll move on. And anyways, Gabe had his booking shoes on and blogging shoes. Booking shoes.
His booking shoes are put away for an indefinite period of time right now. And like Velocity Pro needs a new booker.
He posted a blog the day before Thanksgiving, and he said, yeah, so I stated I would write about the pay-per-view format in this blog. Well, nothing is really coming to mind now, and now we know about that, because he's going to talk about it on the shoot. Stupid bastard. I think I need to see a critique so I can respond. Maybe the outspoken Derek Bergin can send me one. Instead, I'm just going to blog about what I'm thinking about right now. So, He called you out to the carpet. He said, I don't see you writing anything. I see you being brought up by Sean Radican out of the heroin-induced Jake Roberts in a ditch state. He said, Derek, you said you were furiously writing this thing, and there's still tumbleweeds in the Derek Bergin library on the Observer site.
There's two main points to this story. One is that he spelled my name wrong, and I don't know if that's a rib, because that pisses me off more than anything, and it's a consistent thing from day one. I can't imagine how my name is the most hardest to spell name in the English fucking dictionary. And I just
David Perrin.
Rage, yes, it's a absolute rage. And part two is I'm the guy that he calls out. He doesn't call out Wayne Keller or Bruce Mitchell, only ignored him in the last year, or have ripped apart, you know, his rape angles, which, you know, he steadily denied to them in print. Who has been a bigger supporter of this company than me since I started? Since I gave up covering WWE for them on the torch, have given out DVDs to anyone to try to hook other people onto it. Have gone on to other audio shows with Brian, defended the company to the point where people on the F4W online site think I'm a Ring of Honor apologist. And I'm the guy that he calls out. So it's on now. It's on, John.
I look forward to not reading your response on the Observer site.
Oh, you know, you'll read it because it'll be on the site with 10 times a hit as Tales of the Blog. That's why I know you'll be reading it.
Yeah. Good luck looking out for that, people. You can see the Derek Bergin.
You're going to give it a 5 out of 5, and you can only use whole numbers because that's the Jeremy
Warnick told me you have to send your things to him now for approval. That's one of his new duties as an Observer boy.
Associate editor. Yeah, and a 5 out of 5 does not translate to a 10 out of 10. You can't do that on the Warnick scale.
I couldn't possibly translate a 5 to a 10. It's whole number scale. It's tough.
If people don't know what we're talking about, Jeremy Warnick, a video game boxing guy on the Figure 4 online site, had an interview with Brian
card.
Alvarez talking about Roberts' SmackDown 2009, and he graded the game 4 out of 5. And so Brian Alvarez comes back, 8 out of 10, and you hear silence, and then Jeremy says, no. You can't do that. I only do a 5 scale. And it's just, it's the funniest, or non-intentional funniest thing that you'll ever hear in your life. And I wish I could share all the backstage secrets of having to hear about this 5-star scale, whatever the fuck it is, but it's unbelievable. It ranks right up there with the Torch Style Guide of things that just I love.
That was invented because of a certain someone.
Yes.
Inability to grasp the English language in written form.
I improved the English language on the internet, and I've been proven right. I had to burn that village to save it, and it's finally come home through. James Caldwell, right. Your boy. He's taking all of my ideas now that he's posting all the time on the main page. I should be getting credit, or at least half credit, for inventing all this shit.
What's he doing?
Don't go with it. He's not doing enough of these integral things so we can get on to the next DVD. That's what he's not doing.
I'm excited to see where he focuses attention next. He's hasn't watched the Driven tape yet.
Who's poking?
He poked you?
No, he hasn't poked me. He's poking someone else. And nothing has killed more wrestling writers than a relationship. Nothing. Thank God we know that the Bruce Mitchells and the Brian Alvarez's will be single forever, so we don't have to lose them from our reading materials. But James, it looks like we're losing James Caldwell, and that's a sad thing.
Yeah,
look what happened to me. Look what happened to me, Sean. I was the most prolific writer on the internet.
Is
one
it worth
great
it?
Concept after another, and now I'm stranglehold in a relationship and can't do anything.
I thought the laptop was going to change everything.
It did. I now watch a lot more movies than I did before.
You're like the TNA's list of excuses as to why they haven't been successful.
Yeah, exactly.
We just need 2 hours. We just need 2 hours of TV.
We just need prime time. We just need Mondays. How can I be to blame when all the new shows are back, though? When you got How I Met Your Mother, when you got Heroes, when I got The Office on Thursday nights, and 30 Rock, and How I Met Earl, and Desperate Housewives. I have to be on the
You say How I Met Earl.
I watch it all, baby.
How is that show, How I Met Earl? Is that a new one?
Let me explain something to you, all right? Let me rehab, which I'm keeping up on, Parking Wars on A&E. I'm about to watch Leverage on TNT.
Oh, God.
This is the difference between me and your mentor, Bruce Mitchell, who's proud that he's never read Harry Potter. I don't want to see Twilight. I don't want to read Twilight, these little fucking books about vampires and girls that want to fucking think vampires. Yeah, I'm sure you did read it. It's fucking approved by all the girls on the hills. But I'm going to find out why it's so popular, because I need to know. Because when I comment on wrestling and how they need to stay on top of popular culture and how it will help them, I need to know what I'm talking about.
It's a well-written book.
The audience that is going to the movies to watch Twilight, and that's the difference between me and your mentor, Bruce Mitchell.
Well, Johnny Fairplay will fill him in.
Johnny Fairplay will text him once they're at the rodeo. What's our next bit of Ring of Honor news?
Oh, we actually forgot to talk about the video wire clips of they used the obviously they used the production truck to fill the documentary of Samoa Joe and Tyler Black. We get a very brief look, and I'll say the crane shot looked really cool with Joe hitting him with the forearm from the through the ropes to the outside and. Black going, what is it, ass over tea kettle or something? into the crowd. That was a cool shot. It actually almost looked like I was watching a wrestling show for the first time.
It looks nice. And the only thing, it doesn't bug me to an nth degree, but it bugs me. I mean, people love it. But what bugs me is that this should have been on the first Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Not 2 years later, and allegedly maybe only because an HDNet executive was going to the show, and they realized that the fucking shows look so amateurish. And especially that last pay-per-view we saw exemplified it more than ever. I mean, it's the equivalent, Sean, of let's say I get signed to a big deal by Wade Keller tomorrow to write a weekly column. And every one of my weekly columns is filled with, you know, stupid typos, like when I'm talking about the rays of the sun, I spell it S-O-N, or just make bad grammar mistakes. And a year and a half later, I proclaim, you know what, I'm going to start using Microsoft spell check. You know, should I be roundly applauded? Should people, you know, go on their hands and knees saying, oh, thank you, Derek? No, it's something I should have done on day one because it's common sense, and it doesn't add that much to it. And I just, you know, this is something, they shouldn't be applauded for it. It should be like, okay, now what are you going to do next because you should have done this a year and a half ago. That's how I feel.
Well, I don't think they're going to use it for every show. I think they're doing it to try to reports on Observer and PW Insider said that there's a TV executive there, and they actually had a production truck there and everything, and I didn't hear about this.
To blow smoke up his ass, basically. I know when I was at Sylvania making light bulbs, and we would have a yearly inspection from we were owned by Siemens over in Germany. When they were coming into the United States and taking a tour of the plant, that was the one day of the year everything was clean, all of our records were in order, all the idiots were shoved in the back warehouse, so you don't want to, you know, talk to them. Is that what this was? It wasn't a taste of things to come. It was trying to get this HDNet or whoever it was, you know, tricked.
I'm not sure, but I didn't hear anyone people talking about the new setup being. Usually, you would hear in the live reports, the new setup was here in bumfuck Missouri or wherever they were last night.
St. Louis. Who's ever heard of that? No, I think that they should only use it for pay-per-views. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they're in a catch-22 where their other shows are going to look like shit.
I'm sure.
But they need to.
It probably cost them a lot to do that compared to bringing out the high school AV team.
Yeah. It cost them a lot to fly in people no one gives a shit about that they don't need to be doing. So maybe they need to bring me in with my little scalpel to go through the books, and I'll tell them what they need and what they don't need.
I'm sure they'd be accommodating at some point to that.
A cop, kayfabe commentaries. I'll do a shoot on that. How I would change Ring of Honor. Derek, I think it's set.
We have a breaking question on Facebook from Derek Steller, who is attending the Ring of Honor show tonight in Nashville. He asks, hey, fellas, gonna buy some DVDs at the show tonight. Which one was the show with the big ROH CZW Cage of Death blow off? First Japan show, any other must-have shows, I'm going to do the buy three, get two dealio. THX, Derek Steller.
Well, before I forget, we need to set up one of those fan pages on Facebook, you know, with these stupid things where it says, I keep getting these updates where so-and-so became a fan of fucking something-something. Bob Ward,
yeah.
Some part of The Office, or fucking Derek's having a pizza. We need to get the audio showcase, or the Derek Bergen audio showcase featuring Derek Bergen with Sean Radigan, a page on Facebook so people can show their allegiance. We need to, at least that's on the record right now, so I can remind myself when listening to back to this. And before we recommend DVDs, what do you think of ROH doing buy three, get two free? I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing?
No, it's a really good time to take advantage of you get five DVDs for $60 if you're at the live shows, and five DVDs for probably what, $60-$70 through the mail, I would think. That's a great deal, I think, for the quality of the product that they put out, and clearly they're trying to bring in people and hook them by getting them to buy a block of shows for a low price point. So anyways, The Death Before Dishonor from 2006 has the CCW ROH blow off. And
yeah.
I'm trying, I would guess that's Death Before Dishonor 4.
I think that the 100th show, I'm pretty sure it was the 100th show, had the big six-man CCW Ring of Honor show, which people need to see because that was the show the CCW went over with a ridiculous ending where Super Dragons, you know, in the ring, the CZW, John Danzig's there, they're spray painting the Ring of Honor shit. It was like what you don't see in the WWE invasions that they've had where the main guys always go over. This was a time where everyone thought Ring of Honor was going to win this match. You know, they were just going to go on and steamroll CZW. And it wasn't like that. Was that the show where Claudio turned? I think so.
This year's Death Before Dishonor 6 had the Claudio turn.
No, the Claudio turn on Ring of Honor, where he joined the team season.
Yeah, that was the sixth man at the 100th show.
Yeah, that's what I've been saying. Are you listening to a word I say on this entire audio?
Yes, I am.
People need to understand this is what I got to deal with. This is why I leave so many messages during the week. I just explode on you on your answering machine. Because you fill me up with this fucking rage that just has to go somewhere. It's either that or I Lacey Peterson, my girlfriend, and I just can't do that because I can't afford a civil case.
I feel like the Dr. Drew. I get, you know, I have all the addicts in my coming to me for help, and I give them the help, and they backlash at me like at that.
Well, I'm like Danny Bonaducci on Hogan's show, and I'm dealing with a sniffling piece of shit like Screech, and I want to strangle him. Okay, let me calm down.
The first Japan show is either live in Tokyo or live in Osaka. So whatever date comes first when he looks at that is the first one.
Yeah, any must-have shows, I would recommend any single of their pay-per-view DVDs that have been released, which are usually two discs. You know, I think all of them have been good to fucking awesome shows. I don't know how to question Derek Steller's collection is, if he doesn't have the original Death Before Dishonor from 2003, you know, get that easily. It's one of the best Ring of Honor DVDs, you know, ever produced. You know, that's something to search out.
What I'm going to tell him is any pay-per-views, Death Before Dishonor 6,
Supercard of Honor 3 from this year.
Yes.
The original
Death Before. Anything Dragon Gate related.
The original Death Before Dishonor.
And I think that should take care of him to get 5 at least, right?
Yep.
So I'll send that in from Derek and Sean.
Or Best of Generation Next, if you got to fill it up.
Answer.
Why is there a best? There has to be a Best of Jack Evans, right? What is it? Please don't die. Is the Jack? Is the London? Paul London.
Paul London.
Jack Evans must have had a DVD. Yo, what up? Featuring Jack Evans.
No, he did. I think it was. I forget what it was called. I think I sent it to you.
They didn't send me. They never sent me any of the best ofs.
No, I sent it to you.
You sent it to me?
Did I? No, I didn't. I don't know. I have it somewhere.
Yeah, I think you
said. Oh, look at Peter Zed just popped up as people I might know.
Who?
Peter Zed.
Oh, Peter Zed! Holy shit. He actually wrote a review of The Wrestler for Figure 4 Online, like about a month ago, because he saw a screening of it up in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yep. So for our current fans who probably went around the torch boards the last 4 years, Peter Zed used to be a high-profile contributor to the Twitter site, and he caused a big stir of controversy on the message boards when he tried to do the charter, which I think was about drugs. I can't even remember now. What was it? Was it Eddie Guerrero? It must have been somebody who sells drugs. And Peter Zed tried to do this big thing to get all the wrestling fans to sign this charter, I guess to ostensibly send to WWE and get them to ban cocaine, and I don't know what it was. It was very weird. Peter Zed left the internet for a while because of all the backlash. But I'm glad to see he's back. He's a very talented dude. And me and him worked on some fantastic cheap pops. Another one of my 5-star ideas.
Support the charter.
Yeah. So glad to see Peter Zed back in the fold. Don't go crazy again, Pete.
All right. Last item you kind of touched on it is the toolbar and ROHmedia.com are gone.
Failed. Bad ideas, poorly executed. It didn't work. What do you think the Ring of Honor excuse is going to be? The economy?
Probably just because it sucked.
Yeah, it was stupid. That's why they didn't catch on.
I guess that just about wraps it up. Any closing comments?
You know, I've never done my promo on the guy that does the DVD covers because I just thought about Derek Steller in Nashville, wherever he's going to buy his DVDs tonight, looking at that gimmick table, seeing all those DVDs, and 90% of them look like fucking shit thanks to whoever does those DVDs for Ring of Honor right now. And that pisses me off. You know, I don't care whose cousin he is, whose dick he's sucking, who pictures he has nude or something in the company that keeps his job. He's a disgrace to the community, and it's a community filled with pedophiles and murderers. He's the worst of all. Get rid of him. That's on my DVD from Kayfabe Commentaries, How I Would Change Ring of Honor. That's on disc 3. That might be in the extras.
All right, so that will close it out. Derek's clearly agitated. Needs some time, some downtime, some calm room.
Somebody tell me how to make a Facebook page for the show. I want to know how to do that. So somebody help me out there, please.
We'll discover it somehow. So for Derek, this is Torch Connors, Sean Radican, signing off.
Malakilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know.